Our scripture reading tonight is once again from Psalm 23. We've been looking at Psalm 23 now. This will be the fifth Sunday night in a row. And focusing tonight on verse 5 of Psalm 23 as we reflect a little bit more on the reasons that David had such peace in his life. The reasons that he wrote Psalm 23, the reasons that Psalm 23 tends to give us peace as we look at verse 5 tonight. But reading, starting with verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, it gives us peace simply to read these words that you wrote through your servant David by your Spirit. But Lord, it's so easy for us, after having read them and after having gone through a day or 2 days, it's so easy for us to forget that peace. So we pray, Lord, that tonight you would teach us that peace, instill that peace in us ever more deeply, so that it will be something, Lord, that will not be so fleeting, but will be something that we can apply each day as we seek to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've often found that one of the most difficult things about walking with the Lord is that you don't get to do it in a controlled environment. You don't get to walk with the Lord in a vacuum, that is, in an atmosphere where there's no resistance to the direction that you're trying to walk. There always seems to be resistance somewhere to my walking with the Lord. And not only resistance inside me from my old nature as it fights against that desire to follow the Lord, but also resistance outside of me. There are things outside of me that tend to resist my walk with the Lord. There are situations, to be sure, but that's not what I'm thinking about tonight. Besides situations outside of me that seem to resist my walk with the Lord, there are other things too. And some of the most dangerous ones are people. Some of the most dangerous things that resist my walk with the Lord, that is, some of the more, some of the things that are the most successful, or at least I have to battle against the most, and have had to say through the years, are other people who resist my walk with the Lord. You see, it's not as though walking with the Lord is only about you and the Lord. There are other people involved too. It's not just about you and the Lord any more than getting married is only about you and the person you get married to. There are other people. There are other people involved. There are other people close to the situation. there are friends, and there are family. And your commitment to your mate, as an example, or your commitment to the Lord will always have ramifications on those people and your relationships with them. Everybody's gone through that, haven't they? Like the first time that you had a serious boyfriend or girlfriend. Everybody who's old enough to have had a serious boyfriend or girlfriend. That changes your life, doesn't it? It changes your life, and suddenly all these other relationships that you have are different. And a lot of those people don't like the fact that that relationship is now different. It's the same way in our walk with the Lord. When we try to walk with Him faithfully. Walking with the Lord isn't as easy as it sounds when you're on a retreat somewhere and everybody there really wants to walk with the Lord too. It's not that easy. It isn't as easy and as simple as just listening to the Lord and following Him. Oftentimes, it's a matter of listening to the Lord and not listening to what other people are saying to you. Listening to the Lord and ignoring what other people are saying to you. Now, it's true that oftentimes what other people say to you, if it comes from a Christian brother or sister who genuinely wants to help you in your walk with the Lord, that can be very helpful. But that's not always the way it is. Oftentimes, what people say to you, the things that they tell you, the advice that they give you, is not coming from someone who wants to see your walk with the Lord improve. It's coming from someone who has some interest in your walk with the Lord not improving, whatever that interest happens to be. Now, here in verse 5 of Psalm 23, the imagery, it changes a bit from what it has been. The pictures of the shepherd and the sheep, the illustrations of the shepherd and the sheep are now gone. But I think they're now gone because that picture of the relationship between a shepherd and his sheep just doesn't carry the freight for what David wants to talk about here in this verse. It wasn't going to be good enough for David simply to say that you provide me all of my needs with the beasts who want to devour me looking on from a distance. Otherwise, he would have said it that way. That fits with the imagery all through the psalm. But that wouldn't have gathered it all together for him. That wouldn't have completed the picture or wouldn't have accurately described the threat to his peace that he was thinking about. Rather than just beasts, who are really only acting out of instinct, aren't they, when they want to try to devour sheep? Instead of beasts, David describes the threat to his peace here as his enemies. And he does it to instill a different sense about what the threat is that he faces. They're not just merely unthinking beasts, like death, for example, like he talked about in the last verse. Death just kind of has a sense that it's there and it's coming to get us. Right? It's very simple, unthinking, kind of an entity that doesn't... It's just very simple and straightforward. But that's not what he's talking about. The threat to his peace here isn't something like that. They're people. They're thinking people. They're very simply people with an agenda which is diametrically opposed to David's agenda. And that's what an enemy is, right? An enemy is someone who has an agenda, has a cause, that is opposed to your cause. And that's how David describes the threat to his peace here as his enemies. David was no stranger to having enemies because David was a man with a clear agenda. His clear agenda all throughout his life and reflected throughout the Psalms was to follow the Lord as closely as he could. To follow the Lord's will in each decision he made, in all of his actions throughout his day. His agenda, his desire was to follow the Lord. And he describes his enemies consistently as people who want to stand in the way of that. As people who, for one reason or another, have some stake in him not following the Lord. They are opposed to him because they are opposed to the ways of the Lord that David is trying to follow. In Psalm 38, he speaks about this in verses 19 and 20. He says, "Many are those who are my vigorous enemies. Those who hate me without reason are numerous. Those who repay my good with evil slander me when I seek what is good." David says that they hate him without reason. In other words, it's not as though David is their enemy. Okay, and that's important to remember. It's not as though David is their enemy and David has been trying to subdue them or trying to get in their way. No, he says they do it without reason. I haven't done anything to them. I'm not their enemy. But they are my enemy because I seek to do what is good. When I seek to do what is good, when I seek to follow the Lord's will, they slander me. That's why they don't like me. Because I try to do the Lord's will. And this seems to be the constant situation in David's walk with the Lord, that he is earnestly seeking to follow the Lord, and yet there are people around him that are trying to influence him not to do that. And when they can't influence him not to follow the Lord, there is nothing that they want to see more than for David to fail. They want to see his decision to follow the Lord not work out well for him. So that later on they can look at him when he's failed and say, "Ha, see, I told you. You shouldn't have followed the Lord. You shouldn't have done it that way. You should have listened to me." And it might sound crazy for that to be the case, and yet that's the way he describes it many times throughout the Psalms. So in the Psalms, you often see David praying to the Lord that he would not let that happen, that he would not let his enemies have the satisfaction that the Lord, since David had chosen to follow the Lord as closely as possible and had chosen to ignore the voices of those people who were trying to get him not to do that, that since David had done that, that the Lord would vindicate him. "Do not lead me into a brick wall. Do not let my enemies gloat over me. Do not let me see disaster." David knew that that's what they wanted because he had decided to follow the Lord. And so over and over again, David prays that that would not happen. One of those places is Psalm 25, where he says, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me." No one, now who are his enemies? "No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame, but they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse." In Psalm 35, he pleads with the Lord, "Vindicate me in your righteousness, O Lord my God, and do not let them gloat over me." David's life was full of enemies. It was full of people for whom David's decision to follow the Lord was some kind of threat. And it was a serious threat to his peace, knowing that there were people around him who wanted to see him fail. So along with his confidence that we looked at in verse 1, that the Lord would always take care of his needs, and the contentment that we looked at in verse 2, that David could have in the midst of plenty, and the direction that we looked at in verse 3, that David always knew that he was making the right decisions and going the right way when he actively chose to follow the Lord's will. And with the protection that we looked at last week, that even in death, the rod of the Lord gave David peace in. David needed also an assurance of vindication, that because he had chosen to follow the Lord would vindicate him and show to all of the people who didn't think he should be doing that he had done the right thing. So David's prayers arise, and his peace is secured, and the way he explains it to us is that though his enemies predicted demise for him, though they waited for him and tried to trip him up, the Lord brought rich blessing instead as they watched. The Lord prepared a table before him in the presence of his enemies. In the presence of those who wanted to see him fall, the Lord showed his care for David. He anointed his head with oil. He showed him honor. He showed that he was pleased with David in front of them. And David's cup overflowed, his cup of rejoicing. That as they looked on, these people who had some kind of stake in him not following the Lord, as they looked on in his life, what they saw was the Lord providing for him, the Lord showing him honor, and the Lord giving him one joy after another as he continued to follow the Lord. What they saw, what David experienced, was vindication. That he had chosen right in following the Lord. Now, we don't like to talk about having enemies anymore. We are somehow under the impression that if we were really living the Christian life correctly, we wouldn't have enemies. But that's not true. It is true that Jesus tells us that we are to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. That's true. To show the love of God to them, to show the love of God to people who hate us, that is true. But the mere fact that Jesus commands us to love our enemies proves that we have them. We have enemies. Everyone who follows the Lord has enemies. It's not that we have set ourselves up against them. It's not that we are their enemies or try to be their enemies. But we have set ourselves with the Lord, and by doing that, have placed ourselves on a course that is opposed to theirs. So because they are enemies of the Lord, they are enemies of us. Now I want to repeat, we are not enemies of them. We do not hate them. We do not seek their downfall. But that doesn't mean that they don't seek our downfall. They do. You have enemies, and I have enemies. And the very difficult thing to come to grips with is that those enemies are often much closer than we would like to admit. The most dangerous enemies that the Lord's disciples have are not usually the nameless voices that come to us from society that laugh at the Lord and at all those who would follow him. Those aren't the most dangerous ones. The most dangerous enemies to those who follow the Lord are the ones whose names we know very well. They are the ones who are very near to us, perhaps even in our own homes. Jesus was very clear about this to his disciples. In Matthew chapter 10, beginning with verse 34, he said to them, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household." Did you hear that? A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Jesus doesn't mean that this is the way he wants it to be. He doesn't mean that this is the way we should try to make it. He only means that when he comes, and when he comes into a life, and he turns that life around, suddenly that person will be going the opposite direction of people very close to him or her. The opposite direction. And they will find that they have enemies. That is, they will find that they have people in their lives that would try to influence them in one way or another, in large ways or small ways, not to continue following the Lord or not to follow the Lord as much as that person is being called to. Now, considering the fact that we've gone through this psalm, most of this psalm already, and the peace that David has, the security that David has, and our only comfort in life and death is that we do not belong to ourselves, but belong body and soul in life and death to our faithful Savior Jesus Christ. Anyone who tries to influence us not to follow, or to follow maybe less than we feel convicted and compelled to follow, is an enemy of your spiritual life, someone who is working against your health and your peace. And that is why Jesus went on to say, "Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." For those who truly follow the Lord, and seek to follow the Lord, it means leaving behind what used to be their life in many ways. Now, this is something that we tend to think is a dynamic that only happens in families where they have their first Christian. And it certainly happens in those kinds of families. We hear stories about that all the time from places where missionaries work, that because a certain person decided that he or she was going to follow the Lord, their family cast them out. Right? That's not surprising to us, is it? But I think we'd be naive to think that the same dynamic doesn't occur in families within the church. Just in different ways. I'm not saying that this happens in everybody's life. In fact, I pray that it doesn't happen in many of our lives here. But I know that there are a lot of you out there who know what I'm talking about. One of the most painful things that anyone can go through as a Christian, as a follower of the Lord, is to discover as they get older and as they start to follow the Lord more and more closely that someone very close to them is opposed to it. And it happens in the church. It could be a parent whose life isn't right with the Lord, a parent who has been living for all of the wrong things. And when they see their child start living for all of the right things, it becomes a sermon in their face every day. And they don't want it. And so in big ways and small ways, they will do what they can just to tone it down a little bit. It could be a friend whose life is in the same situation, whose life is not the way it should be, who is not following the Lord, who knows it. And every time you make a decision to follow the Lord more closely, every time you make a decision in your life based upon the fact that you want to follow Him and your family wants to follow Him, they ask questions about it. You're going to do what? Well, what about your financial security? Or what about this? Or what about that? Have you thought about these things? People very close to you, people that you never expected to hear it from, may very well try to slow you down from following the Lord. In one way or another, your decision to firmly follow the leading of the Lord will put you in situations where suddenly now your life is directed against the grain. Your life is directed against the family grain or against that group of friends' grain or against some grain that you used to be in. And that necessarily will put people at odds with your walking the Christian life the way the Lord wants you to. Now I want to repeat that you are not their enemy, nor should you be. But they are yours. Anyone who would stand between you Now, I don't mean anyone who would help you think through a decision. You come home one night and say, tomorrow I'm leaving for Bangladesh, I'm going to be a missionary. And anybody says, wait, let's talk about this. I'm not saying that that is necessarily standing in your way, okay? But anyone who shows that they are opposed to your growth spiritually or to your walking with the Lord in a meaningful and committed way is an enemy to your peace, is an enemy to your spiritual life. Because they do not have your best interests at heart as the Lord does. Who is it that leads us on right paths? It's the Lord. It's not mom, necessarily, unless she's pointing us with the Lord, or dad, or my friends. The Lord leads me on right paths. And my best interests are always served following the Lord. So if someone doesn't want you to follow him, they don't have your best interests at heart. They have theirs. David's message here in verse 5 is that the choice of following the Lord will never be one that you will regret. It will never lead you into shame. He will never allow you to be shown to be a fool for not having listened to them and for having followed the Lord anyway. He will bless you right in front of their eyes. He will do things, amazing things, that will show those watching you his honor and his acceptance. And they will see how you're following the Lord and trusting in the Lord always will bring you joy. Not that your walk with the Lord will never be difficult. They'll see that. And that's when they'll expect you to start to agree with them. But they will see how in the course of events, the Lord will continue to bless in ways that nobody expected he would. They will see his care for you. They will see that things just seem to work out for you in the end. And they'll know why. So there are people in our lives who are our enemies. What should we do about that? We should do what Jesus told us to do. We should love them. And we should pray for them. But we should not follow them. Love them. Pray for them. Follow the Lord. And he will always vindicate you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, it's often very difficult for us to follow you. If we were in a place all alone, it'd be so much easier, and yet we're not. Lord, we ask for wisdom and that your Spirit would come upon us in a very powerful way so that we would, first of all, be able to follow you when we hear your word telling us something very clearly, that we would follow it. But also, Lord, that your Spirit would come upon us in a powerful way, that you would give us a heart for those who are opposed to that in our lives. We pray, Lord, that you would change their hearts. We pray, Lord, that as they see you bless us, as they see the peace in our life, as they see you providing for us, as they see the joy that we have in you and following you, that you would lead them to yourself. So make us faithful, Lord. Make us faithful. And watch over us. And show our decisions to follow you to be right. Because then we know that your name will be praised. In Jesus' name, amen.